webcasting to the world, live, the good news, God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, beautiful humans. This is Greg Amberge in beautiful Kings Mills, Ohio, and you're listening to the Glenn Klein Online broadcast coming to you from the studio in Tampa, Florida. It's hump day, June 17th, 2009, the only June 17th, 2009 in the history of humanity. And it is our great pleasure to welcome in from Houston, Texas, the czar of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Mike, how's it going?
Well, this is the second czar I've gotten. Okay. You czared me last week.
Did I czar you last week?
Yes, you did.
Oh, okay. I guess I thought I was coming up with something new.
Yeah, come on. Get on the stick here, bro.
So how are things in Houston?
You know, it's good in Houston. A little dry, a little hot, but, you know, nothing bad. I was, over the weekend, I was in Manchester, Indiana, about 2 hours north of Indianapolis, sitting outside at a campfire with a bunch of radical gospel revolutionaries. And with blankets and hoodies up and on and a big fire going and having to stay close enough to the fire to try to keep from freezing. So,
yeah. Okay. Hey, Mike, before you tell us that story, let me give out the phone number if anybody wants to call if they're listening live. The number is 800-436-3260. Again, the number is 800-436-3260. 3260. Okay, so you were in Manchester, Indiana, and tell us a little bit about the background of this group.
Well, Grant Miller is, I've been in contact with him for quite some time. I couldn't tell you how long it's been, but it's been a few short years anyway. And, Grant has been a supporter of the ministry, and always somebody that calls and has questions and which I really enjoy. But I really didn't know much about the background of the entire group up there. But after I got there, I found out that they were out of the German Baptist Church. And I didn't know that the German Baptist they dressed and were very much like a Amish or Mennonite as far as their the garb and everything.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
It was just really amazing to be around these folks, and I saw pictures of their families, all in the traditional garb, and the ladies in their bonnets and their the dresses, and no flesh showing anywhere, and the guys with their beards and their black suits and
well, it depends on how you define flesh as to whether the flesh was showing.
Yes, absolutely. I guess you could say a lot of flesh was showing. And then to realize that they dressed that way, and here, all these people are just cool, everyday people, and their wives in, capri pants and shorts and jeans and you would never ever see them, as being outside of the social norm at all, and then to realize that they were so entrenched in that. And but it's a whole group of people there that were there, and they are free. And they wanted me to come up and share some more of the gospel. Grant is kind of the spokesman for the group, if you will, and has listened and then shared the CDs and then the tapes and CDs with them. And they've just come right along. The main area where we had a lot of questions as we sat around the campfire pretty much every evening that I was there. We spent hours out there every day. not just the meetings, but we spent hours talking, and a lot of it was discussion around the gospel and more questions. And they had a lot of questions about the end times and the book of Revelation and things like that that they had not heard the CDs on this. They were just, been embracing the redemption of the world, and that was just a very solid thing for them. But I taught mostly along those lines because they needed to have these things, reaffirmed to them as far as it being biblical and or scriptural. So when the question started about the end times, that was it's always a lot of fun, And at the end of all of that, I remember I asked one of the ladies there. Her name was Monica. It was Monica and Pete. That she and her husband were there. I think they're about my age or somewhere close to there. And I may be insulting or complimenting them. I'm not real sure which one I would be doing. But anyway, I was asking her, what this had done and, how that, what is it, was there a difference? Was there something that happened in particular during the conference that was meaningful? And we had just finished our discussion about Revelation and all of that, which she was one of them that had some questions about that. And she made one of the comments that just totally always brings me just almost literally to my knees. And she said, now that I understand about all of these things, she said, the one thing that I've gotten out of it the most is that I have a future. And
that's the most profound revelation to a lot of people when they finally understand the gospel and they're liberated, I guess is the word, from the left behind mentality.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'll call it where you like I grew up believing I was never going to reach adulthood, that I would never get married, that I would never have kids, and I went really out of my way to protect my kids from that kind of teaching.
Yeah.
After I discovered the gospel, because I wanted them to understand that they did have a future, that they did have a life they were going to lead.
Oh gosh, yes. It is. It really is amazing. And we've heard it from young teenagers who were about to be put in mental institutions, and the elderly, and everywhere in between of that incredible relief. It's one of the things that is quite puzzling and disappointing to me about a lot of the universalist type teachings or ultimate reconciliationists. A lot of these people are my friends, and but they still teach that there's unfulfilled scripture, and so therefore, you don't have the freedom to choose if there's unfulfilled scripture. You are somehow a pawn in the plan, and the power of freedom is just is amazing. And but the seeing people come to grips with that one concept for me, I think of all the things, because I remember what got me into the whole business of the evangelical Christianity was prophecy. I was so intrigued by prophecy and wanting to know what was going to happen in the future.
I was.
And,
too.
Excuse me?
I was as well.
Yeah, and I think there's so many of us that was the drawing card, was the teachings on the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel and the 70th week of Daniel, and all of that is just so put away, put in its rightful place, and that's that the 70th week joined right on to the 69th, and that there's no bizarre delay that took place after 69.
And when Jesus said, "There'll be some standing here which shall see these things come to pass," he really meant that some that were standing there saw those things come to pass. He didn't mean that he was suddenly going to switch context and jump to 1948 and say yes. that when Israel comes back into Palestine, that some that were, you know, that generation would not pass till all those things were fulfilled.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a way on a personal level that I can know what life would have been like for me had I not embraced that lunacy of unfulfilled scripture and the book of Revelation being a view of the late great planet Earth. It was so ingrained in me. I don't know how much of it so dwarfed my mentality to be productive in a lot of realms that I am so blessed to see, a generation coming up, at least a group of a generation coming up that they just don't embrace that at all. They believe they've got a future. And it's either total non-believers or people who understand the gospel is the bizarre thing about it.
Yeah, you know, George and I were talking tonight. By the way, let me tell the beautiful humans out there. I'm going to have to start saying that I'm in the undisclosed location because I've been saying I'm in Kings Mills, Ohio. And this morning about 9:30, I got a call, and it was George Howe, and he was coming up Interstate 71 on his way back to Pittsburgh and decided to stop in Kings Mills and get a hotel and take me out to dinner tonight. So George of boldgrace.com took me to Outback Steakhouse and bought me a steak. But George and I were talking at dinner about the Day of the Lord, and yeah. and I had been studying for quite a while, all the way back through Isaiah and Jeremiah and different prophets, and then what was said in the New Testament about the Day of the Lord, the great and terrible Day of the Lord, this mm-hmm. Day of the Lord that was both very good and very bad. And
yeah.
if you read it, you'd almost think the prophets were schizophrenic because
yeah.
they were saying how great this day was and how terrible this day was, the great yeah. and terrible Day of the Lord. And it was the day of the cross. And I never got to the point where I took it to the book of Revelation until one day you or Glenn that began talking about, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, the Lord's Day, the Day of the Lord. I missed it totally.
Yep.
That's
an amazing thing, especially when he's the one who's quoting Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel all the way through this, and it's Isaiah.
Yeah, saying this day are these prophecies fulfilled in your midst.
Yep. Yeah, and it's just amazing that John used the terminology of the prophets he was quoting, and for us to take their terminology and redefine it is just ridiculous. I mean, take the term the Lord's Day or the Day of the Lord, and especially when it is the guy is quoting 80% of the book of Revelation is quotes out of the Old Testament, out of the prophets.
Right.
And it really is just amazing when that little thing. In fact, there's a friend of mine actually from Germany that pointed that out to me. And I was just ready to do cartwheels. I loved it was just so amazing. You know, we were on a phone call to Germany and she starts this stuff, you know, telling me that, you know, John didn't get that revelation at the on the Isle of Patmos, and I was like, oh gosh, you know, where's she going now, you know?
Well,
and then
interesting, Mike,
it was so ridiculous, you know, she read it and it's like, well, duh. And but yeah, no, it's been a major part of the ministry since then, since that very day, and always will be. And the teaching on the 70th week of Daniel is such a major thing, because that's the hinge pin that all of this has to divide at is that none of this Book of Revelation thing can be a future event unless the prophecy of Daniel stopped in mid-time. Now, it's a prophecy about time, but then defies time and stops. It is given to us to show what's going to happen during the process of time,
right,
up into a certain point, and that certain point very clearly being the cross. But because the Christian world defies Daniel and his prophecy, they defy the work of the cross, and they refuse to believe that transgression has been done away with, and that there is no such thing as sin anymore, and that everlasting righteousness has been brought in. But what they don't realize is by saying that is not fulfilled, it's the very same part of the 70th week of Daniel that says that Jesus Christ would become Lord over all. And so they, by taking the position that it's a future event, they're delaying the very lordship of Jesus, according to the prophecy of Daniel.
Well, you're listening to the Glenn Klein Online broadcast of the Gospel Revolution, but joining us from beautiful Kings Mills / Mason, Ohio, is the aforementioned George Howe. George, welcome to the Gospel Revolution.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
We're doing good.
Brother George. I don't know why it just seems right to say Brother George with your name.
Well,
Brother
we had,
George.
Me and Mr. Amberger had communion tonight. And,
yes, we did.
It was very well partaken of. And I would like to invite anyone to email me at boldgrace@gmail.com. Tell me where you live at, and if I come to your town, I'll buy you a steak dinner too.
And he will. He's done it to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he tracked me down in Florida. So,
so and
yeah,
I got
he's
you
a good
Houston
tracker,
once,
you know.
I got you in Houston once too, Mike.
Yes, you did. Yes,
but,
you did.
I didn't call it for anything special tonight other than to say, you know, it's great when we can get together, and there's more of us out there than what the people that are listening anonymously online. There's a lot of you out there, and we're traveling through the country all the time. So,
yeah.
Like I said, if you'd like to meet up, email me at boldgrace@gmail.com. And tell me where you're at, and if I'm traveling through your city, we'll stop and eat. And
yeah, and I think Greg got a steak out of the deal, even not
I mean,
not no TGI Friday stuff, but
oh, no,
he got a
steak and a few choice beverages too.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and not of the milk variety either.
And we're not going to have an altar call or anything.
No, we're not. So we like I said, we partook of the communion steak and the communion wine, and it was a good church meeting we had tonight.
That's awesome. Glad you guys had a lot of fun. George, we appreciate you so much. You're one of our roving gospel revolutionaries, and never know what location. Talk about undisclosed. He's not only undisclosed, it constantly changes. So we never know where George is going to be, but we know where his heart is. And it's been awesome to get to know you, George, and with so many other people that were connected to you there, and your wife. And it's just amazing. It's
well,
amazing.
And the other thing, we want everybody to remember that Labor Day weekend, you're all invited to Pittsburgh for a pig roast.
Pittsburgh pig roast.
You can't get together with me without eating. Of course, once you meet me, you'll know that I don't pass the table too many times. Well, gentlemen, I wanted to say good night. Hello to you. And before I say something I shouldn't, because I might have had one too many milks for dinner, I'll get off. But we love you, Mike. And Greg, thanks for having dinner with me tonight. I appreciate it. And tell Deb, thanks for sharing you tonight.
Absolutely. I appreciate you calling this morning. If
thanks,
you are listening in.
We'll be listening. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. If you're listening into the broadcast and you want to call in, we've got an open line now. The number is 800-436-3260. Again, that's 800-436-3260. So, Mike, where are you going next?
Well, let's see. We've got to nail down the exact dates, but I'm off to Alaska, the last frontier. I have been in every state in the Union, and I've traveled many countries in the world, but I have never been to Alaska, and our friend Scott Johnson is organizing, who was just a kid when he first heard the gospel. He's a teacher actually now in Anchorage, Alaska, and he has friends there that are atheist and Buddhist and just about every brand you can think of, and so we're putting together a little seminar there and going to be sharing the good gospel news with the folks in Anchorage. And
I think you said that was in August,
It'll
maybe?
Be the last part of July into the first part of August, and I'm just actually waiting to get in contact with Scott to finalize that.
That would probably be the best time to go to Alaska.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's daylight 23 hours of the day, so, you know, I guess you had to find a hole someplace to go to sleep. But it is. I would, of course, not go to Alaska any other time other than that.
Because you need a toboggan.
Yes, I would need a toboggan again.
I remember that story where you.
Oh, yeah, I made a fool of myself
in toboggan.
Saskatchewan. And, you know, when I grew up in Tennessee, those knit hats we put on your head was a toboggan. And
right.
In Canada, it's nothing but a big old sled, and I was trying to find one to put on my head. They thought I was from another planet instead of the U.S. But. So yeah, they're doing that, but also on August the 16th, and I'm shamelessly going to promote it, my birthday, August the 16th, I am, going to be starting my second seminar in, Manchester, I believe it's, Manchester, North Manchester, Indiana, again with, Grant Miller and his family. My goodness, his wife Darla and their kids, they were just all so gracious, to me. I don't think on my birthday that we're gonna have to sit around the fire and try to keep warm outside. But
right.
You never know, it's Indiana, you know. So, I've got some stuff to do, and we are also, one thing we want to, start mentioning and talk about too, is that I don't know if anybody noticed, but we didn't do a spring pledge drive. And, here we are turning summer here real soon. So, what I decided to do was to do a combination spring summer pledge drive. And that will start next Wednesday. So we're going to be having the hour and a half program next Wednesday and the following Wednesday and of course the third Wednesday. And I want to go ahead and let the people know what our goals are so they can go ahead and start making their plans.
Right.
You know, because of the commitment of so many people on their monthly giving, and we really appreciate that and encourage you to keep that going, because that is the lifeblood of the ministry. I'm not able to get out to enough places to entreat people to support the ministry, and it really is our monthly partners that keeps this all going. But because everybody's doing such a good job, we are combining spring and summer pledge drive, and to complete the summer, we think we're only going to need about 12,500. So not only are we doing a twofer, spring and summer, but the amount from the last time, gosh, I think we raised, it was like with the pledges that were matching funds, We had a goal of 25,000. We met that with matching funds and tremendous success. It just changed our financial picture altogether. So with what is committed on a monthly basis and what we need to raise, that's only going to be 12,500. We ought to knock that out in one Wednesday night, shouldn't we?
That would be great. And Mike, of course, next Wednesday night, you're going to be preaching on the hundredfold return. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Well, the one thing they are going to get is the brand new series. Now, this, I know that we've always, we're doing better, so you're going to do better. And that is that, you know, we normally have only been able to offer one CD. But we're not only not offering just one CD, but we're going to hold off on the distribution of the Canada conference entitled In the Twinkling of an Eye, which I believe has turned out to be 6 CDs of all new teaching, that series, In the Twinkling of an Eye, subtitled A View of History. And that series is going to be a life changer for a lot of people. And maybe there may be a lot of the information that some of the people already know. But you talk about one to pass out to other people. There is not going to be a better one to hand out to people because the information on this is so concise. And we brought everything down to a very understandable level and the context teaching that people are used to me doing. So for a $100 gift or more, you will get not a single CD, but the entire new series from Canada entitled In the Twinkling of an Eye, A View of History.
In listening to most of the recordings that you've done over the last 10 years, the stuff that comes out when you're in Canada, something really good happens up there. I don't know what it is, but
Those folks have heard me for years and years and years. So I a lot of places I go, I have to go back and cover other territory that I've already covered. But when I go to Canada, I can't do that. I mean, these people say, you know, well, you taught us that 5 years ago, or we learned that last year, or whatever. So this really was a real breakthrough. I apologize for the office phone ringing.
Fine. We actually have a special guest on the line, somebody that might be familiar to the Beautiful Humans, from somewhere, we don't know, some undisclosed location. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, my undisclosed location is between the undisclosed location and Florida. I'm in my vehicle driving.
Glenn
Klein, and of course, this is our captain. This is our captain speaking to us, Glenn Klein. And Glenn, how's the truck running?
So far, so good. No complaints.
Awesome, awesome.
I made it south of Chicago, so such a big city, you feel like you've accomplished something, but on a long drive.
So you made it out of Wisconsin, at least.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, one thing, I don't know if you guys are talking about it, but watching the coverage from Iran, you know, the government has shut down the satellite transmission.
Yes.
But people are tweeting on their Twitter and still stay in touch via the internet. And I was thinking, Michael and Greg, the implications this kind of communication has for the gospel.
Exactly.
You know, the way that information can be disseminated so quickly, I think really bodes well for this message.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it's like the right... It's like the gospel coming along at just the right time when we can, disperse it in so many different ways. And we really are going to try to get all of those things in gear now that we have gotten to where that our heads are just above water here. And but even the Twittering and all of this, we need to get all the Twitter here with the gospel. I understand it's not a difficult thing to do, but it's just a matter of starting it. But we are planning on that. So if anybody else is interested in that, please let us know.
But you see, such a totalitarian regime, people at their own peril. Of course, there's already been some murders and assassinations, if you will, politically motivated. But I mean, it's not without peril that people are going taking to the streets in a place like Iran. The human desire for freedom is so profound that you know, that people are willing to do that, and again, it harkens back to the gospel.
I think you're right, Glenn. I think it is God in those people in Tehran that is the motivating factor. It's that you know, when you're and you've heard me say for many years, you know, that when your heart is kinder than your religion, then guess which one is right. And it also goes for freedom. Anything around you that is bondage, your heart is going to cry out for freedom. So we have those folks and us in the religious community having a structure around them that the gospel is in the heart crying out for freedom. And man, what conflict. But it will cause people to be able to do things beyond their own strength and their own ability, and to stand up when standing up could cost you your life. So it is a very powerful force, as you said. It's just it is an amazing thing, the force of freedom. And boy, our best is with those folks, and that their voice will continue to be heard. The important thing is that they do continue to be heard, and like you were saying, thank God for Twitter and camera phones and all of this stuff, because you're seeing the information is spilling out even in a totalitarian government. They're finding it just virtually impossible to control the information anymore.
And in that specific, Iran is over 60% of their population is under 30 years old.
Yeah, that's change in the air right there. That is for sure.
That's the unintended consequences of the Iranian Revolution in the 70s. They had lowered the age for marriage to 9 years old.
Yeah.
And, of course, it caused a population explosion. And that's my greatest hope for the gospel is with the young people. You know, Greg, people like, you know, your kids' age that were not completely polluted by religion. We've talked about this many times, Michael, about how the effects of legalism, as free as we like to think we are, still has its grip on us. But when you're raised in an atmosphere of freedom, what a difference it is coming down the road, right? Your kids and my kids' age, I mean, they don't know the bondage that we lived under.
Right.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. For sure. And in our conversations recently also, Glenn, you know, have commented about, you know, I don't think we really know how affected we may still be by the things that we learned and the formation in such early years of the way we think and the way we see things, that once that's kind of programmed into the brain, I believe in the renewing of the mind, and I still know that we're going through that, but there's times I still wonder, you know, if I how I view things that may still be the influence of the religious prison that I was literally raised in. And as Greg and I were talking about, that we both got involved in all of that because of our craving for prophecy and understanding prophecy. And then to come to this glorious understanding that all prophecy is fulfilled in Christ. Not only is the law fulfilled, but all prophecy is fulfilled. Not only is all prophecy fulfilled, but all scripture is fulfilled. And the whole different paradigm for the future that that gives. But to think that there, you know, that there's a generation of people who are not going to have a terminal mentality like we were had so ingrained in us, and that we weren't even going to grow up, much less get married, much less have children, much less have grandchildren, much less have to plan for the future and retirement and all of those things. We were discouraged. It was just unbelief to do such things in the circles we traveled in.
Yeah, Glenn, I had told Mike this week about that one of Adam's friends from his high school was killed this week, tragically, in a freak accident. And one of my evangelical friends asked me when he heard about this, did he know the Lord? And my response was, I don't know, but I know that the Lord knew him.
Yeah.
And I was reading on Facebook, they set up a page where the kids could go and type a message, you know, about Wes or to him. And I was reading those messages last night and was amazed at how many of the kids, there was no religion in the messages, but they talked about the goodness of God and the beauty of heaven. And I think there's a different mentality in the generation that's coming of age now than the mentality when I was that age, where we viewed everything through the framework of our religion we've been taught. And I think kids now have an understanding of spirituality that isn't framed in a specific denominational type doctrinal religion. And to me, I think that's a great thing.
Guys, the thing that is surprising is that a great deal of it is intuitive in
exactly.
the generation. They weren't
exactly.
taught the gospel. They weren't told these things aren't true. They just have grown up with an intuitiveness that these things are just not right. The evangelical view of the gospel. And they may not believe much of anything, but I can tell you one thing, they don't believe evangelical Christianity. And that's the reason when they hear the gospel, they gravitate to it so easily because something in them, I think it's, and of course, everybody knows that I just believe that the gospel keeps us progressing and maturing generation after generation in a better manner. And I believe each generation is becoming intuitively smarter as far as spiritual understanding is concerned. So it's a great time to be alive and observe. I've said for many years that I may not yet to see the full impact of this gospel, but I do know that the work we're doing will impact the entire planet. Beyond the shadow of any doubt in my heart and mind at all.
Well, it's like the a whole civil rights movement, the gay rights movement. I mean, kids today, the next generation is going to look back and be like, what do you mean people of different races couldn't date? Or what do you mean that people of different sexual orientations didn't have the same rights? I mean, our kids have a completely different mindset than we did growing up, and it's because the church's influence is waning. I mean, it's still plenty there, but my kids in high school, I mean, the kids that are gay and are dating interracially, they don't know it of any other way. Thank God.
Yeah, for sure. That is something definitely to be grateful for. And the thing of it is that even in church-going families, they don't realize that their children don't agree with them about these issues.
Right.
And it's not just people who've heard better and know better, but even the younger generation who has been taught quite the opposite to what we're mentioning right now. They just, they think differently. It is just different. And to, you know, a lot of people have a lot of opinions about the, you know, gay rights movement, but, and what should be done, how it should be done. But, you know, I don't give it a second thought because for me, for years, it's been a foregone conclusion before the first state ever passed its laws. It's been a foregone conclusion because I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the equality that it that is the standard for our union. And we've watched these things
under the law for all people.
Yes, and we have watched these things come and go. And you know, people are beginning to wake up and realize you don't vote on whether somebody else can have rights or not. You vote for your representatives, but this lunacy of voting on whether somebody can have certain rights or not, it is so unconstitutional in and of itself. It's just utterly amazing, and thank goodness that there are thinking people that realize that. You know, we don't have a right to vote as to whether or not a certain group has any kind of rights. At all, but it's really amazing to watch this all transform, and as we go careening into this century, which we've already plowed almost 10 years into it, almost isn't that wild, guys? We're almost a decade into this new century that seemed so far away, which was you know, the last thing I remember actually was that the year 2000 was definitely going to be the end of the world, you know, and even the computer people agreed, and not just the ones toting their Bibles, but even the computer folks were saying it was going to be the end of the world. So
right, and Mike, I don't know if you're aware of this. I'm aware of it because I have some friends that are really into prophecy things. But there are a lot of the prophecy preachers that are now pushing the year 2012
yeah.
for a variety of reasons. One of them is something about Nostradamus, but actually some of the Christian prophecy preachers are really pushing 2012 as this year when all these things are supposed to be fulfilled. And I can't wait for that year to come and go so that I can say, you know, and I'm really going to press it as 2011 gets here and say, at the end of 2012, you come and see me and we'll talk.
And believe me, they won't, because I've done it ever since 1988. And
yeah.
And 88 reasons why Jesus was coming back in 88. And,
well, I remember the book by Hal Lindsey, the 1980s Countdown to Armageddon.
Oh, yeah. I challenged all of these guys vocally and vociferously. I mean, it was just, I said it in every way that I could, as loud as I could. You know, I am telling you that this day will come and this day will pass. I mean, it's probably five times since 1988. And right up through 2000 for sure. And I was very vocal about the year 2000, and I gave people absolute guarantees that nothing was going to happen, nothing was going to change, and gave the reasons why. And I challenged, I openly challenged Pat Robertson and all of these guys who were peddling this junk, and to do what you just said, let's talk afterwards. And if I'm wrong, then you know, that'll be quite obvious. But if you're wrong, don't start rearranging everything. Just admit you're wrong, you know. But they
right.
don't. They go hiding, scurrying like a bunch of rats to hide behind another prophecy that is going to get them out of their false prophets mode. And my goodness, they better be glad that the law has been done away with, because we would have had to stone to death every Christian leader across this nation several times over, at least since the 70s, since I've been a part of all of this stuff, for these end of the world prophecies that they have vocally supported. And according to the law, if they prophesy and they're wrong, they're supposed to be stoned to death. But so they're out trying to preach the law, but then they prophesy, and then they're wrong, but then they don't want to apply the law to themselves. It's just everybody else.
But, of course, they always leave themselves an out. And I have a friend who's sort of into that kind of stuff. I call it the radical prophecy thing. I was in the Vineyard movement, and I know some of the weirdness that comes out of Kansas City with people that were formerly in the Vineyard movement in Kansas City, and the prophecies that come out of there. If you read them and you take them and write them down, you can always find how they leave themselves an out.
Yeah.
For these things are going to happen, but if they don't, it's because we prayed, and it's you can read and see that they're not prophecies at all. They're they're just stirring people up, and
They're gimmicks.
Right, they're gimmicks.
It's just gimmicks when you get right down to the heart of it. I'm sure there's some people that are sincerely persuaded, you know, and hoping that something they say is right. You know, we've used Jack Van Impe as our doormat for quite some time.
He's the most fun.
Yeah, he is fun. He and Roxella both, they're just fun people, you know.
They are fun.
And,
But
we've pointed out the fact he's been prophesying and pointing out this verse and that verse. He can't even breathe without quoting a verse. And he's never been right one single time. But he's still on there. So,
you know, you were talking about how all prophecy's been fulfilled, and I know you talked about the end times of a lot this last weekend in Indiana. We were talking about it. Could you tell about that one woman's response to your sharing about all prophecy being fulfilled?
Yes, I did. Just earlier, just before you called, Glenn, but it is well worth visiting again, because that is, I think of all the things, I am really, really happy to be able to share the gospel of peace. I am elated to share the gospel of grace. But even with all of that, as magnificent as it is, I think of the things that if I were to have a legacy, I hope that the comment that so many have made as a result of the teaching that I've done on the end times in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel and the prophets and the prophets, and the comment that has come out of them, that came out of Monica, that said, you know, well, the one thing I got out of this is I have a future.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to be in your 50s and just find out you've got a future. But of all the things, I think it was because, like what Greg and I were talking about earlier, I was brought into all of this mindset of evangelical Christianity through my intrigue of prophecy. And,
yeah.
I tell you what, of all the things, if there is a legacy in anything that I have ever done, it will be when they lay my bones to rest, or I should say my ashes, because I definitely decided on cremation rather than burial. And part of that just is a sign of belief that it's all finished. And we talked about that, when we went through the whole resurrection of the dead teachings up in Ohio, and I asked those folks when we finished, you know, does it bother you to think that that your physical body would not come out of the grave? And I asked, you know, how many of you believe this? And they said, you know, it makes. We always wondered what we were going to do with them anyway, because even Jesus said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And then we've got flesh and blood being raised and being turned into something different. And so as we talked about it, there was just a great freedom from all of that. And a lot of them there didn't know that, you know, most graveyards are placed and planted to where that the people are facing the east. So that when Jesus comes back, that when they come out of the ground, they'll be facing him. They don't want to come out of the ground with their back to him. And a lot of them didn't know that. A few in the group there didn't know that. But to be free from that dread and to know that it really was all finished at the cross. There may be a lot of tragedies and a lot of wonderful things happen in the future. In fact, I'll guarantee you there's going to be cataclysmic things happen around the world, and we will recover, and there will be glorious movements forward and discoveries of travel and communication and medicine and technology beyond our wildest dreams within just the next 10 years. I guarantee you. I could prophesy it all day long, but you don't have to prophesy anymore. But those things are all going to happen. But thank God that where God is concerned and his work, where the human race is concerned, it was fulfilled and completed in Christ. Now, whatever you bring out of the cross with you or understand it, and believe me, I have no bone to pick with anybody who believes in in healing or whatever it is, you can take on the other side of that whatever you like. I view everything as having been fulfilled, and if a miracle happens, I'll be the first one jumping up to praise the Lord. But the amazing thing is that we don't have to live in dread anymore.
That's got to be one of the biggest disillusionments, is that the soon coming of Christ is preached at almost every level of Christianity, and yet year after year, decade after decade, century after century, it doesn't happen. And once you realize that it has all been fulfilled, all that disillusionment leaves you. You are no longer disillusioned.
Yes, absolutely. It is now 51 generations that have been taught that that generation is the generation that's going to be the last generation. But it was 51 generations ago that was the generation that was the last generation to see and to live and exist under the law and live under the old covenant. And that generation came and went, and the end of the world took place. And everything that you read in the book of Revelation is a wonderful, wonderful discourse of what the future of this planet would have been beginning 2,000 years ago. One of two things was going to happen. Either a sacrifice for the sins for the whole world was going to take place, or the things written in the book of Revelation were going to begin. But they would have already been done by now. It would not be in the future. That is one of the most important things that we've got to come to grips with. That if the book of Revelation even were to be history, were to be a future event, it would have already still been a historical event. Because these things were coming to pass in the day of the Lord, as Greg was talking about earlier. So even if the book of Revelation had happened, not will happen, because one of two things was going to begin 2,000 years ago. Either God's wrath was going to be poured out from heaven upon this planet, even as the book of Revelation shows us what that history would have looked like, or it was going to go on the cross. One of the two. And we have a great Redeemer, guys. We have a Redeemer. This world has a Savior. Whether they are Jewish, whether they are Buddhist, whether they are Gentiles, regardless of their race, creed, or color, whether they're in jail, out of jail, regardless of what we've done or not done, this world has a great Redeemer, and no one, no one will suffer under the hand of God for any deeds done in the body. That was the terrifying thing that Paul quoted again in Corinthians and in Romans, and then showed that all of that history had changed at the cross. Because he that knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ.
Good news, fellas.
That's good preaching, Roberts.
Yeah. All right, well, I am continuing on my journey here in central Illinois now.
We'll continue in the blessing of the Lord, Brother Glenn.
I have no other choice.
You don't have a choice, do you?
Thank you.
Yes, thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Glenn.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, Mike, we've got about 4 minutes left. Why don't you tell us again a little bit about with the pledge drive happening next week.
Oh, yes.
About what the people will receive if they give to the pledge drive.
All right. Now, this is a very special pledge drive because it is a combination of spring and summer. And lo and behold, the faithfulness of the people. I mean, we can take more funds and we can do more. But we do these pledge drives so that we can just simply meet the expenses and continue doing what we're doing. Now, in
right.
the future, we'll start setting some certain goals and start raising funds for doing different projects. But we had to get this out of the tank. And, folks, you did it. You got this thing out of the tank and just brought it, literally raised the entire thing from the dead. It's just amazing. And we are so grateful and so appreciative. But this coming Wednesday, beginning this coming Wednesday, I'm not looking at a calendar to say which Wednesday it is, but it's the next one. And we are going to do the spring-summer pledge drive combination. Our goal is $12,500. Goodness, we were at that level, what, a year and a half ago or something, maybe more? And but that's just simply what we need, along with what people are contributing on a monthly basis to meet the needs of the ministry. So that's all we're going for. And you know, let's not drag this out. Let's everybody, you know, jump on board here. Let's knock this $12,500 out. It now. Oh gosh, I remember when me and Glenn first started and. And we asked for $2,500, and we were just almost freaked out that absolutely none of it was going to come in. And we met that goal, surpassed it, and since then, I think we've only had one, and it was actually because of some confusion about the totals that we didn't meet our goal. But this last one was just amazing, just utterly amazing. But I just felt very strongly in my heart that we were ready for it, and we met some great goals. But the gift for contributing to the pledge drive, which begins Wednesday, the gift of $100 or more, and that's in a total of a yearly gift or a one-time gift of $100, you will get the entire new series that has not gone out to anyone and will not go out to anyone except those who contribute to this pledge drive for the next month at least. And then we'll start advertising it once the pledge drive is over. But the people who will be getting this first are those who make a contribution. And believe me, it was an exciting time. There was about, and I think it settled out at about 6 CDs, but you'll get that entire series free of charge.
And that's the series In the Twinkling of an Eye.
In the Twinkling of an Eye of You of History. Don't you just love it?
I love that. That's great. Well, we thank everybody for joining us tonight on Glenn Klein Online. And we hope you'll come back next week for the
combination spring and summer pledge drive. For Glenn Klein and Mike Williams, this is Greg Ambergy, and we just wish everybody a great week, and we want to say shalom, everybody.